We've just now discovered in the spring, it's the birds that we're competing with as they are. It's kind of like they're playing the Masters every year in Augusta, Georgia. And that tournament is played every year since 1930-something in the month of April. The only time that it was canceled was because of World War II, and I don't know if it was 1 or 2 years that they were able to cancel. The very first winner of the Masters was from Springfield, Missouri, and his name was Horton Smith. And now, because of the coronavirus, they're going to move it to November. So you read all of these articles about what it's going to be like in November versus what it was like normally in April. So what I'm saying is outdoor church is different in the spring than it is at the end of August when we have our preaching out here. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in our sixth message in the book of Corinthians. And so we're in 1 Corinthians, sixth message, chapter number 2. And if you're able, I'll ask you to stand, because when we get back in the building, we're probably going to be sitting most of the time instead of standing. But I want to, if you can, you can stand as I read the Word of God. We're going to start reading in verse number 9 of chapter 2. And the Bible says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." So basically, God is letting us know that unless you are saved and have the Spirit of God, you are what's called a natural man, and you're not going to understand the things that God has revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. That's why all this craziness is going on in the world.
That's right.
They don't look at it from God's perspective. That's why many of the governments don't care anything about churches and about the need for churches to assemble together, because they want to treat the church just like every other entity, like concerts or whatever. And it's totally not the same. Totally not the same at all. So I'm just saying to you that the Bible makes that very clear. Verse number 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." You see that? "But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth." And that's really kind of been the theme of this, about the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of man. "So which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal?" Father, I pray that as the Word of God goes forth this morning, that we might understand that Paul is speaking really about two classes of people. He's speaking about those that are saved and those that are not saved. And then in the category of those who are saved, he speaks about those who are spiritual and those who are carnal. And I pray that we might understand, Lord, that among God's people there is the spiritual and there is the carnal. And God, I pray that we would be people willing to fall into the class of spiritual and not carnal. Because as we've already looked at from our reading and teaching and preaching through this book, that this church had problems, they had issues of carnality. There was the issue of division, there was envyings, there was strife in this particular body. And Lord, because of that, we received the instruction that we received as we read this morning. And Paul is talking to these people and telling them they're not even able to eat meat because of their carnality. So I pray that we might understand this morning that the Spirit of God that lives within us desires for us to be a people that are spiritual, a people that are separated unto God. I pray, Lord, that You'd help me to relay this truth this morning. In Christ's name I ask, amen. You may be seated. There was a time back in 2020 B.C. That's 2020 B.C. and that's before Corona. That people, and I know this is hard to understand, and I'm kind of putting this in the perspective of maybe what we'll be able to tell our grandchildren one day. We'll be able to say, well, back in 2020 B.C., people used to travel on airlines. That was these big, they're like gigantic buses that flew in the air. And I know now that the Green New Deal has come in, we don't know what that is. And in fact, we live in a day now, grandkids. Listen, we live in a day where it was like where the Europeans were during the Dark Ages. And during those Dark Ages of the European times in the 1500s, that people in Europe never traveled more than 10 miles away from their home. And the reason they never traveled 10 miles away from their home is they lived in fear because of the religious oppression of the Catholic Church and what they taught them. And they didn't understand that over the hill they were taught all of these things. And there was no freedom. There was no freedom. And there was a time back in 2020 B.C. we had to stay in our houses. And we were quarantined to our houses and we could not travel. Now, all that's hyperbole, I understand. But what I am telling you is, back in those ancient days of travel, we will say that people would fly to different places. And it's not like today when you're not allowed to get out of your house unless you go to a big box store to retrieve some groceries. Now, back in those days when we traveled, there was several classes you could travel on. You could travel first class, you could travel business class, or you could do what most people do, and that's to go economy class. Now, I say all of that in a very hyperbole way, but I will tell you this. If you ever have the chance to fly first class, go that way. The only problem with flying first class, and by the way, let me tell you this, there used to be a time that if you wore a suit to the airport, which nobody does that anymore, unfortunately, but if you were dressed up in a suit and there was a first class seat available and you had any kind of mileage, any kind of frequent flyer miles or any kind of flyer, they literally, this is back in the old days, no, I know, this was back in the 80s and 90s, they would stand there behind the counter and they would see and they would call you up and they'd put you in first class just because you had a suit on, because back in those days the airlines wanted the first class to perceive that there was an upper class called first class. But through the years, every once in a while, I've been upgraded to first class for one reason or another, and I'm telling you, don't do it, because once you fly first class, you're like, I don't want to go back to economy. In fact, what happens is when you go back to your economy class after flying first class, you cry as you walk by those people that are in the first class, because you know they're going to get the warm cookies, the little bowls of peanuts, and they're going to get the meal. You know, did you know that they actually have meals on airplanes? And so, yeah, did you know that, Michael? Michael didn't know that. The point is this. There is two classes in the Christian life. There is first class and there's economy class. Now, God calls it the carnal and the spiritual. And God actually will give you, He will tell you whether you're carnal or whether you're spiritual. And the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you, if you're a child of God, can actually tell you whether you're spiritual or whether you're carnal. The point I want to make is that God desires for us in our Christian life as a child of God to actually be in first class. Wouldn't it be awesome if your heavenly, if your father owned Delta Airlines or American Airlines or was the CEO or whatever it might be, and you would know that every time that you fly in that particular aircraft that you're going to fly first class? Now, the only thing better than flying in first class is to have your own class. And that means to have your own plane. That's a whole different level, all right? Is everybody out there this morning?
Amen.
All right, I just want to make sure. I'm telling you, God desires for our life not to live in a carnal situation, because God knows what that's going to do for the Christian. And there's two words that are in contrast in a Christian's life. To be carnal and to be carnally minded, or to be spiritual, or to be spiritually minded. And I'm telling you, my friend, to live spiritual and close to God is to live in first class. And every person needs to understand this. If you're saved by the grace of God, the founder of your faith in the person of the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you, and the Spirit of God is not some force or some influence, but rather He is a real person that lives inside of God's people. Now, I must say this right now, that if you're not saved, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you do not have the Holy Ghost living in you. And therefore, the Bible is going to describe you as the natural man. You're in the natural state. And so you're not going to be able to think like a Christian. You're not going to be able to live carnally minded or spiritually minded. You're just naturally carnal. You're just natural, period. But the problem is when God's people act like unsaved people. When God's people act carnal, they're literally acting like the natural man. And God says that is not to be. You're living in the wrong class. Now let me give you the central idea. Let me just tell you right up front what Paul is trying to get across to us today, that I'm trying to preach, and that is this. If you're saved, that means the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And if the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, then God's people must live by God's wisdom, not by the world's wisdom. And they need to understand that as the Holy Spirit lives inside the believer, then God's people must live by God's wisdom, which is revealed by God's Holy Spirit that lives within us. And so the Word of God lines up with the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God speaks to us, and in fact it tells us that He reveals unto us the things that God intends for us to know. Verse number 10, God has revealed things unto us by His Spirit. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And that's not just speaking about future things. That's talking about things right now. And God knows that if you live the spiritual life, you will have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that your life will not, even in the storm of our life, in the storm of our country, in the middle of COVID-19 and cities being burned down. Listen, my friend, you know what many of us need to do? Quit watching TV and start reading the Word of God, and let the Word of God dwell in you richly. And I'm telling you, if you have the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, you don't have to live a life of fear.
That's right. Amen.
You don't have to live a life of fear. There's people that are afraid right now. You don't have to be afraid. What's going to happen if you're a child of God and you die? Go to heaven for all of eternity? Seriously.
Amen.
And I am not minimizing any sickness. I'm not minimizing any calamity or anything. And I think that you need to have common sense, and I think you need to do things decently and in order. Yes.
Yeah.
If there's a building on fire, I'm not going to rush in there just to say I went in there.
That's right.
I'm going to call the fire department and tell them to put the fire out.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, there's common sense, but there's also the Spirit of God that lives within us, my friend. And we don't have to live like the lost world. We don't have to live the life of carnality. There's no way. The Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost lives within us. You know, the word ghost implies personality, that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost that lives inside of us is not just an influence, not just a force. No, He is a person. And He lives inside of us. And a verse of Scripture that comes to my mind, I just read through our Bible reading not long ago. It's one of my favorite portions of Scripture in the Bible, and I know I say that a lot. But I want you to listen to me as I read Romans 8. You can flip to the left and be there very quickly in your Bible there, Romans 8. But notice with me in Romans 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now you know what that says there? The same Holy Ghost of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you. Amen. And that, my friend, is the power of God.
That's right.
The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power of God, the same Spirit of God, the same Holy Ghost of God that dwelleth in you. Now that is a lot to think about. And that is a lot to consider. And so when a Christian, a true Christian, a saved man, starts going down a wrong path, if he's truly saved, the Spirit of God that lives inside of him is going to go, don't go this way. Don't do this. And you know what? If you and you can do your own thing. Listen, God's not going to make you a robot. But I will tell you, the most miserable people on the face of the earth are backsliding, carnal Christians, period.
That's right.
There's no way around it. There is no way around it. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, later on, Paul's going to write these words. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Look at this. Which are God's. But it is what we do with our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God that decides if we're going to live a carnal life or a spiritual life. In our text of chapter 2 in verse number 15, the Bible says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. The word there, the word judgeth, has the idea of discerning. He that is a spiritual man is able to discern things. I remember many years ago, I went to a preacher's meeting, and I believe it was in North Carolina. And Dr. Art Wilson was one of the speakers, one of the preachers. And I'll never forget it. I mean, it's like sometimes there's those messages that you write down in your Bible, and you just kind of write thoughts in it. But he preached a message that morning that said that we as God's people need a revival of discernment. A revival of discernment. You know what that means? That just means you need to know what the Bible says. The Spirit of God, as you read the Word of God, and the Word of God dwells richly in you, and the Holy Spirit of God, God is going to agree with His Word because He wrote the Word of God. And when we agree with God's Word and do God's Word and keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing to Him, guess what? It's going to work out a whole lot better than when we're carnal and we do our own thing and we resist the Spirit of God. We resist the conviction of God's Word. We resist His wooing, if you would. And we've already read that literally, if you're saved, you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and you really don't even belong to yourself. But yet we live in a people of attitude, I'll do what I want when I want. No, that's not the attitude at all. We are nothing but servants and we must do what God says. So when you understand that word means has the idea of discerning. We know we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside us, and we know we're able to discern spiritual matters, yet those who live around us, they just can't figure us out. Why do you go to church? Why is church so important? Why do you go to church not just one time a week, but a couple of times a week? Why would you go to a revival meet? Why would you go to do the? Why do you not drink alcohol? Why do you not smoke cigarettes? Why do you not do? Everybody else does it because we have a Bible and we have a God that lives within us. And listen, my friend, let me just tell you this. Before I got saved, some of that junk was in my life, and the world was telling me I was having a good time. Let me tell you, since I got saved, I've had the best time of my life. Because you can't take away the Spirit of God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You cannot take away the grace of God that's been in your life. You can't take away how it's changed your family for good, for the good of God's glory. Amen? Somebody say amen. And listen, if you've been brought up in church and you got saved at an early age, you should be the first one to the altar and thank God that the grace of God came early in your life. And you don't have to deal with some of the junk that the natural man got you into and all of that kind of stuff. Listen, I don't care what age you got saved, you're still a sinner. You're still in need of a Savior. You still must repent of your sins. But I'm telling you, can you not see that we live in the age of rebellion? People, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me where to go. No, I'm telling you, you can do your own thing. But you will live a miserable life in spite of it.
That's right.
And even though you're telling everybody, oh, I'm just fine. No, you're not. And you know you're not.
Right.
My friend, you know the turmoil in your soul if you're not right with God. You know the turmoil in your soul if you're not saved. You know that things ain't right. Listen, the world has gone crazy.
Amen.
The world has gone crazy. You know why? Because the world is natural. They're under the influence of Satan.
That's right.
But if we're saved, listen, my friend, they can burn my house down, but they can't take away the Spirit of God that lives within me.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, because people are natural or unsaved, they don't understand. They don't understand. And I'm just saying, this is kind of an application that there's preachers all over the country and they're dealing with a lot worse things than we are, trying to get their people together. And praise God for live stream, all right? I'm thankful for live stream, and I'm thankful. But it doesn't take the place of church. It doesn't take the place of assembling together. And again, the government doesn't love my people more than I do. And I want none of my folks that I pastor to get any kind of sickness or anything like that. But at the same time, there's a balance that I know that my people are a bunch of wicked sheep, sinners, and they need to be together to hear the Word of God because I do. Listen, my wife thinks I've gone crazy because I'm starting to watch birds. And I didn't do that in 2020 BC. That's only, you know, before Corona, I never did that. So I'm a little crazy. I understand that. But all I'm saying is just like, and again, this is an analogy that we've seen in our society right now. The analogy, okay, do we go back to work? Do we not go back to work? At some point, is it worse to get sick than to lose your whole livelihood? Everybody stand? Somebody say amen to understand. Okay, so what I'm saying is, in the same sense that people need to go back to work, people need to go back to church.
Amen.
In the same sense. Because I'm telling you right now, it is easy to stay out of church and get backslidden and get to a place where you're more carnal than you are spiritual. And you listen to the TV more than you listen to God. And you become carnal just like that. Just as we have seen that our country can turn on a dime and freedoms can be taken away so fast, God's people are no different.
That's right.
That if they don't be careful, they can be carnal really fast. Now think about this. The Apostle Paul had gone to the church, had gone to the city of Corinth. He He had gone there not with words of wisdom and excellency of speech. He had gone there that he said, I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. It is the power of the gospel that saves people's lives. And the Bible's going to teach us through this whole book, like chapter 6, when he talks about a list of sins, and he says, and such were some of you, and now you are saved. And I'm going to paraphrase it. You've gotten saved by the grace of God. Your life has been changed. You're a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. All things have become new. And they begin to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And Paul was there, and he was teaching them, and he was preaching them, and he was there for 18 months. And then God moved Paul on to a different area. And now time has passed by. The church is still established. The church is still going on. There's several people that have gone through this church. But all of a sudden, Paul receives a word from the house of Chloe that there's divisions and there's bickering and there's all kinds of carnality that's going on in the church. And he shuts down and he writes this letter for us to understand that if Corinth can go south and go from spiritual to carnal, so can Berean Baptist Church, just like that. Now, we've kind of learned this, but you've got to understand that the city of Corinth was a city of wisdom. They loved knowledge. They loved wisdom. They were like Greece in the way that the Athens wanted to hear something new and something like that. And so they became like that, and they allowed that to come in church. Listen, we cannot allow the philosophies of the world to come in church. You can't do it. That's why many churches, even in our area, when the medical department or whatever it is, surveyed all these churches, they said, 80% of them said we should stay out of church and have live stream. And I'm talking to the TV going, hey, they didn't call me. In fact, I called about every independent Baptist church around here, and they didn't call any of them either. That's where we've come to. Well, really where we've come to is where the Supreme Court in California would give a 5-4 decision to say, well, the church is nothing more than a concert. Now listen to me. Because churches have turned their church into concerts rather than to preaching stations, why wouldn't the Supreme Court say that the church is nothing more than a concert? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's not who we are. That's not what Paul is preaching about. Paul is preaching about to these people that they need to be spiritual. They need to be separated. They needed to understand that they were different than the world. Why? Because the Spirit of God lived within them and they were able to discern things. Yeah. Listen, my friend, all these people that are doing their own thing, many of them, first of all, they've never been saved by the grace of God in the first place. Yeah. But if you've been saved by the grace of God and you can give a testimony of salvation and you live the carnal life, you are a miserable person. You can write it down and I'll sign it for you and you can use it as an excuse at work. But it is true. People are natural, unsaved, and they do not understand the things of God. They don't understand church. Therefore, it must be understood that no matter at what point you are in the Christian life, God lives within those who are His. Why is He there inside of us? He is there so that our life might develop into Christ-likeness. Is everybody with me? Amen. This is a progression here. This message is a progression. He is living inside of us that we might develop. It's called growing. It's like a baby when they're born. Everything is good to go, you know, when they're little. First-time mothers crack me up, you know what I'm saying? They say things, oh, my little boy, he dressed like me. He'll dress like me for the rest of his life. Are you joking? As soon as that little booger gets his own idea, he'll have psychedelic socks on with stripes upside this way. He's not going to dress like his mother. No, is he, Michael? No. He's going to grow up. And listen, by the way, can I say this? You want your children to grow up. You want your children to mature. Because one day, if you're really good, you'll get to have an empty nest.
Amen.
But you got to grow them up. But while they're growing up, you want them to learn how to go to the bathroom by themselves. Somebody say amen if you got a little one. Man, I'll never forget. I told my wife, I'll be so glad when these kids that we're raising can go to the bathroom by themselves, go to take a bath by themselves, dress themselves. It's a progress. And then so what people do is they get them almost that place, then they have another one. And then they have another one. And then they have another one. And so every time a mother has a baby, I always tell them as pastor, okay, just add 20 years to your life because they're going to be hanging around for the next 20 years. But as they grow and develop, you know what you want them to do? You want them to mature. My grandson will be 16 this year, my oldest grandson. I can't believe I'm saying this. And he got his driver's permit. So he'll be able to, and I told him, I said, you know what's good about teenagers driving? He said, what? I said, Mom and Dad don't have to go to the store no more. They can send you to the store. That's what I did. And I'll never forget the first time my mom said, I need you to go to the store to get bread and milk. I'm like, sweet, I get to drive the car. She was thinking, I don't have to go to the store, I'll send him. I was thinking, I get to drive the car. That's called maturity. And you want your kids to mature. Well, listen, why do you not think God wants the same thing for us? God wants you to mature. God wants you to grow. Galatians chapter 5, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, this is a spiritual Christian. Listen to this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such as there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Therefore, why is it that so little of His life, God's life, is produced in us, and so much of ourself, our selfishness, still remains? Here's the answer. We're carnal. And in chapter 3, verse number 1, here's what he says. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. You know what Paul is saying? If you don't grow up and you don't get spiritual and you don't have the fruit of the Spirit and you're not growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, guess what? You cannot take preaching. You cannot take biblical instruction. You cannot take it when the preacher stands up and just declares what the Word of God says. Because you're carnal, you are only can get milk. Now, my friend, I got a big green egg, and I don't cook milk on it. I cook meat. Why? Because I like meat, every kind of meat. I'm not prejudiced against meat. Pork, beef, chicken. Okay, I don't eat lamb. Turkey. But here's the point. When a baby is born, you expect them to drink a bottle. But my friend, if you're 30 years saved and you're still sucking on a bottle, that's weird. Lahayla, that's weird. Lahayla's up here laughing. She knows. Even Lahayla knows that a 30-year-old should not be sucking on a pacifier or on a bottle. So the question becomes this. Now, Paul's going to give us, and I'm not going to preach all of it this morning, but Paul's going to tell you some things that you can see in your life to see whether you're carnal or spiritual. But you know what? Here's what I know. I know this. And this is how I'm going to leave it, kind of. If the Spirit of God lives within you, you're able to discern whether you're spiritual or whether you're carnal. Now, folks, I'm not saying we've arrived, because a Christian who is saved by the grace of God realizes that the Spirit of God lives within him. There's always going to be a conflict, all right? We know that. But the point is that this should not be that we live like babies the rest of our Christian life. I expect newborn babies not to understand everything. And I want to teach them and disciple them and show them what the Word of God says. But after a person's been saved 2, 3, 4, 5 years and they've been coming to church and hearing the Word of God and they've been reading the Bible themselves and they've been finding out, hey, it's time to grow up.
Amen.
Is what Paul is trying to say to this church. And by the way, he's talking to Christians because he says the word brethren in verse number 1. And there's another person that's not in the family of God, 2:14. We already know that. That's the natural man. But if you go back and compare that to chapter 1 and verse 18, we know this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. A natural man does not understand spiritual things because he's never been born again. The tragedy, though, is when a professing Christian reacts on the same level as the natural man. Let me give you an example. Well, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so said this and that to me, and it was only natural that I got angry. Did you hear what you just said? Or when you say things, well, that's just me. That's just the way I am. You know what you just said? I'm carnal. I'm acting like a natural man. I'm not acting like a spiritual man. I'm not acting like I have the mind of Christ. I'm acting like I have the mind of the world. And then we wonder why the lost world looks at us no different than they do the lost world. We do not need God's people acting natural, because when they do, in reality, they are carnal. Within every child of God is the possibility of reproducing the character of Jesus Christ. But because of living on a carnal level, they do not. Do you understand with me that this church, according to chapter 3, in verse number 2, he told them they're carnal. Why? Because in verse 3, he said that you got envying, you got strife, you got divisions, and you're carnal because you walk like natural man. What a group of Christians that they were. I want you to go to Romans chapter 7. This time I do want you to go to Romans chapter 7. And all you got to do is just turn left a little bit. Romans chapter 7. And I want you to look at verse 15. And here's what I want you to understand as I really kind of close this out part of this morning, because I'm going to come back and I'm going to preach on signs of a carnal life, all right? Next week I'm going to preach on signs of a carnal life. But here's what I want us to understand as God's people. We're trying to live the Christian life based on what the Word of God tells us. And even Paul knew that he had this conflict inside of him of the natural man, the carnal man and the spiritual man. He understood that. And he said in verse number 15, now this is Paul, this is the great apostle Paul. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but that sin dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. Does anybody relate to this?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We all do as God's people. Then he says this, how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me unto captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So the Apostle Paul says, listen, even though I am saved, I realize that I still have a sinful nature. And there are these times when I would do good, but I find that evil is present with me. And sometimes, have you ever had said to your kids, why did you do that? And they say, I don't know. Do you realize they're really not lying? Because they'll go, I can't believe I did. They're sinners. We're sinners. Sin dwells within us. All right? But my friend, listen to me. I'm serious. When we feed the flesh more than we feed the Spirit, there's going to eventually be an issue. But notice what Paul... Well, I lost my spot there. Romans chapter 7. Let me get back there. The wind blew my... All right, now I want you to look at this. He says this in verse number 24 because of that. He said, O wretched man that I am. And we are. Everybody with this? Yeah. O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now here's the answer right here. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let me tell you something. The only way that we can be spiritual is to discern spiritual things, is to allow the Word of God to dwell into us richly. And when we sin, we have an advocate. We go to the Father through the Son in the power of the Spirit, and we repent, and we get right with God, and we start all over. You know what people need to do? They need to start all over. And you know what God allows? He allows you to start all over. Even if it's for one day or 1 hour or 1 minute, when we sin, God says, let's start all over. But you know what? You got to come to Him and you got to say, Lord, I know that what I've done is wrong, or I know what I'm doing is wrong. It is sin that dwelleth in me. And Lord, I thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ because we have victory through Him. Everybody with me? You do not... The devil, listen, you're in some kind of sin. You're in some kind of addiction. You're in some kind of thing that you shouldn't be in. The devil will tell you you can't get out of it. And that's not true. That's a lie of the devil. You can bring it and bring it to the feet of Jesus Christ. He can forgive. And you know what He'll say? Let's start all over. If you're lost, you can't start all over unless you start. And that means being saved by the grace of God. But if you've sinned and you've done wrong and you've got out of first class, you got out of spiritual class, and you moved over to carnal class, you can get back in spiritual class, but you'll have to come to Him. Father, I pray this morning that we might understand there are signs of a carnal life, and we'll look at those from the Word of God next week. But I pray that we might understand that the Spirit of God that lives within a Christian can convict them of the sin. In fact, if you want to know whether you have sin in your life, all you have to do is ask the Spirit of God and He'll reveal that to you. And then it'll be up to us whether we'll repent and go into first class or into the spiritual life, or whether we remain in the carnal class or the economy class of life. Oh God, I am so afraid that God's people can so quickly move away from the spiritual life into the carnal life. And Paul saw that in the church at Corinth. He saw envying, he saw strife, he saw division. He saw things, he saw the wisdom of the world, philosophies that were not of God, philosophies that had nothing to do with the Bible, had creeped into the church, and they were doing their own thing in their own way. And Lord, it had brought them to a place where they could not even eat meat anymore. They were back to drinking milk like a baby does when he's first born. I pray, God, that our people would not be milk drinkers, but would be meat eaters to digest the Word of God and allow the Word of God to speak through their heart. And the Holy Spirit of God allow to show them where they need to be right with you. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Let's all